Well, we're almost done the season of Easter, which I'm going to miss. I always like this season of the year quite a lot. And we're looking at some very interesting passages of Scripture. We're going to spend our time primarily in our Acts reading, which the sermon title was a peculiar jailbreak. That should have given you at least some kind of a hint. That's the only one that really talks about jail. And it's just an interesting story. There's all kinds of humanity in it that we don't always see. Scripture, considering how big it is, really is quite concise and tends to be zeroing in on particular things. And we don't often get a real feel for some of the people involved. And yet, I think we do here. I mean, we begin by hearing that there's this slave girl, depending, or a servant girl, depending on the translation you use, that has some ability to predict the future. Whether it's true or not, we don't really know. But it's enough that the people who owned this person made a lot of money off her ability to at least convince people that she could tell the future. And she obviously knew something was going on, because when she saw Paul and Silas, she knew who they were and was announcing to everyone that you should pay attention to these people because, well, they can tell you the way to God. What I find so interesting is this irritated Paul for some reason. And I'm not quite sure why. You'd think that having somebody following you around saying what it is you're trying to do would be a good thing. Although I suppose, presumably this came from an evil spirit, not an angelic one. So maybe that was enough for Paul. But so Paul finally has had enough and turns around and casts the spirit out of this girl without asking permission or anything else, which causes a bit of a problem. Interestingly enough, the owners of this slave girl seem to be somewhat ethical, if it's possible to be ethical and own slaves at the same time, in that when the reality of her abilities were taken away, they realized they were no longer able to sell her services to tell the future. They take Paul and Silas to the magistrates and get them in trouble. These men are Jews. They're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. Presumably it was just that they were, Paul and Silas were suggesting that people join a religion that hadn't been signed off on by the religious authorities. As far as Rome was concerned, you could do whatever you wanted, as long as you you could worship anybody, as long as you chose from a very substantial list of deities that you were allowed. They wanted you to follow their religion, but if you couldn't stand it, well, as long as you were a Jew, as long as you were following the right kind of Persian pantheon, whatever it might be, they just didn't care. Christianity wasn't on that list, so it opened up an opportunity for the owners of this prophetic slave girl, I guess, to get them in trouble. And proving once again that a mob is a mob at any stage of human development. When this all came together, the crowd joins in an attack, and the magistrates, seeing a good thing, order them to be stripped and beaten or flogged and thrown in jail. It seems like a bit of peculiar, a bit of justice for us, if you even want to call it that, but it was their culture, that's what they did. I guess we're kind of stuck with it. It seems like it was okay, and like nobody complains about the treatment, that it was somehow illegal. Except as you read further on, because Roman citizens weren't supposed to get that, but it was just sort of the jurisprudence of the day. They get thrown into jail. They stick them in an inner cell, put their feet in the stocks, so they're obviously high security prisoners. And then we read about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. I find it very interesting, the singing and praising. I followed a missionary in who was serving in Turkey a number of years ago. I'm not sure where he is now. And he and a small church group were arrested for no better reason than that they were meeting together. Turkey at that time, I don't know what it's like now, had the illusion of religious freedom. But the only good thing you can say about it is they sort of oppressed every religion equally. They didn't have any favorites. They sort of hated them all. So they grabbed this church group and threw them in a cell that was actually too small for the group of them. And then, to irritate them even more, they had simultaneously arrested a small group of Marxists So they threw them in as well. So they had way too many people, figuring this would really annoy them all. Well, the problem was that the Christians taught the Marxists hymns, and the Marxists taught Christians solidarity songs. And so they all got together and sang each other's songs to the top of their lungs to annoy the jailers all night. So they actually got thrown out because they were so annoying. So it does actually do some, didn't have much to hold them on anyway. And the jailers just had enough, so they tossed them all. And so it's a long history going back at least to Paul and Silas of just because you're in jail doesn't mean you can't sing. I don't know that Paul and Silas were doing it to irritate people. I think they were doing it to keep their spirits up, but still. And then we get to the crux of the whole story, really, where there's an earthquake. And it's such an earthquake that the foundations of the prison itself were shaken. The prison doors flew open, which is certainly common in earthquakes even now. What is a little uncommon is that their chains became loose. So I don't know if that means when I was a kid, I always thought they fell off their legs and things. But I suspect what it really means is they fell off the wall so they could drag themselves out, including their chains. The jailer woke up, saw the prison doors open, because jailers tended to live either in the prison or right near it, and his first thought was to kill himself. Because the way it worked back then is that if your prisoners escaped, and especially if they were charged with a capital crime, you went in jail on their behalf, and then you were killed as if they, just like they were going to be. Or sometimes you were just slain out of hand for letting prisoners escape. There's a lot more barbaric, I think, than it needs to be. Jail's bad enough without doing that. But Paul shouts, don't harm yourself, we're all here. So, it's at this point that this story struck me, and this whole idea of what kind of a jailbreak is this. Because, I don't know about you, I've never been in jail because I was in jail. I did prison ministry once and realized that I really don't like being locked up. And was unable, really. Well, I could do it, I suppose I had to, but by choice, would not engage in that ministry ever again. The sound of those clanging doors behind me was all I really needed to keep me on the straight and narrow if I didn't need more than that. But I suspect that for me and for most of us, if an earthquake comes and there's changes, the first thing we would think is that God has provided a way out. And why wouldn't we think that? Earthquakes are not common. Even in places that get lots of earthquakes, they certainly don't get them every day. And here you are, you're in jail for something that is really unreasonable. You're in jail for saying what you know is true. And then what could very easily be interpreted as a miraculous event happens where you have an earthquake, and not just an earthquake, but an earthquake of such precision that the doors pop open, which is not unusual, but your chains are either detached from the wall or detached from you, but the jail doesn't collapse upon you and kill you all at once. So why wouldn't you think that this is obviously God's providence to get me out of jail and just pick up and leave? Well, we don't know what went through Paul and Silas in their heads as they were there, but what we do know is that they didn't leave. We know that Paul and Silas were every bit as human as us. They may have had abilities and experiences that we don't have, but that's just the way it is with every human being. They were uniquely themselves, but they were still completely human. We know that they had a certain measure of impatience, Paul casting out this spirit. Most of us would have taken that opportunity to leave. And so I don't think it's unreasonable for us to at least consider the possibility that they knew at some level that it was more important for them to be where they were, uncomfortable, potentially dangerous as it might have been, than to leave. We don't have the explicit word of Scripture that says that the Holy Spirit told them to stay there. But they did. And ordinarily we just think, well, what of it? They stayed, they could have gone, they stayed. Maybe they were too beaten up to leave. But then we read the rest of this story. That the jailer obviously knows something's going on because the jailer calls for lights, comes in and asks them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? It's another place where we see that those who have no particular reason to believe, there's something going on where they know that something's different. From the centurion who was an observer at Christ's death, which said, this was truly the Son of God. There's something different about that. The jailer sees something different here. And if we didn't have this story in here, we'd be missing some really, really important things about what it means to follow Jesus. Because when the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? They don't say a whole bunch of things that we have now, that we tend to say are part of being saved. There's no statement here about church attendance, about supporting the work of God with your finances. There's nothing here about whether you should or shouldn't dance or consume any substances of any sort. All of these things that we put on over the church history that says this is what it means to be a Christian, there's none of them. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your husband. And there it is. What do you need to do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's as simple as that. Now they spoke more things to them. They spoke the word of the Lord to him and told the others in their house, in his house. And we don't know what all they said. But when he asked, what do you need to be saved? They told him, everything you need to be saved. And that's believing in the Lord Jesus. It's so hard for us to allow things to be simple. Because we think if it's simple, it must be simplistic. Well, this isn't simplistic. Believing in the Lord Jesus is not simplistic. It's not nothing. It's not an action without consequence, as this jailer knew. But the transition from not saved to saved is simple. Einstein says that explanations should be as simple as possible, but no simpler. We should get things down to the minimum that is required. And just because something is simple doesn't mean that the consequences are simple. To stick with Einstein, E equals mc squared is a little equation that we all know. We don't know everything about it, but we know that energy equals mass times the square of the speed of light. That's what mc squared is. So what? I mean, you can write that on your hand with a crayon. You know, it's this little simple equation that led us into the nuclear age. Simple doesn't mean nothing. Simple doesn't mean trivial. Simple just means simple. Easy to understand doesn't mean that there are no further ramifications of what you've done. And here we have Paul and Silas encapsulating what it means to be saved. And we can extrapolate from there that presumably this caused a certain amount of difficulty for the jailer. No guarantees, but Paul and Silas were tossed in jail, were beaten and tossed in jail for advocating for religion that wasn't on the allowed list. So presumably the jailer had to do something with that, had to answer for it in some way. But why? But why would the jailer go in and say this? Because there's something special about God's people. There's even something special about us. We find it hard to believe. We're not Paul. I'm not Paul. I don't think any of us are called to that apostolic ministry in that way. We're not Silas. But we are different in a way that makes us like them. As I was thinking of this passage of Scripture and what it is, what it can say to us, well, the reminder that salvation comes from belief, not from the doing, although belief leads to doing, or it's not real belief. That's what James wrote his whole book about. It's helping us figure out how those two go together. But the salvation comes from the belief, the acceptance of the reality of God in the form of Jesus. That's what salvation comes from. And then it moves out from there. That's a good reminder, but we all know that already, and we've all made that transition into that belief. But what it reminds us is that just because there's a way out of a difficult situation doesn't mean that the best thing for us to do is to leave. Because Paul and Silas could have left. If they would have snuck out, I mean, they had followers in the city, I'm sure somebody would have hid them, they could have then escaped, the jailer would have, you know, been slain, but, well, that's a little collateral damage or whatever you want to think of. They could have left, but they didn't. And we have many, many examples in Scripture and many more in church history of followers of God, those who have moved into this saving relationship with God by believing in Jesus, who have not left difficult situations. And extraordinary blessing has come from that. We don't know all that this jailer and his household did, but we know that Paul and Silas affected an important Roman official in an important city. We don't have the details of the outcomes of that, but we don't need the details to know that it was significant. It would have been significant even if the jailer wasn't important, if it was just the jailer and his family. Paul and Silas, by saying we are going to stay here, whether through the explicit leading of the Holy Spirit or not, really doesn't matter. Their decision to stay in a situation that was, well, far more difficult than any of mine, I won't speak for you, but certainly more difficult than any situation I've ever been in, led to tremendous blessing for that family and through the telling of this story through us, through to us. We now have a better sense of what it takes to be saved. We have a better sense of how the experience of meeting the reality of Jesus can affect lives. The jailer and his household believed and were baptized right then. For those of us who have our feet in both baptized children and don't baptize children camp, this is a helpful thing for us because they baptized whoever was in the household, children as well. Well, there might not have been children in that household, but the chances are effectively zero. All kinds of good things came out of Paul and Silas staying where they were. We don't stay where we are very well. Our culture tends to say that if you're uncomfortable, if you're unhappy, if things aren't exactly the way you want them to be, you should change that immediately. And if changing that means leaving, then you should leave. If your marriage isn't everything you want it to be, you should just ditch it. If you're at home as a 16 or 17 year old and your parents aren't letting you do what you want to do, you should just leave. If your job is making or has expectations that you don't feel like meeting, you should just quit and find another one. I'm not so sure that's always the best way to go. Think of it in exercise, for example. The whole point of exercise is to make you temporarily uncomfortable so you will be better off in the long haul. Exercise that doesn't make you uncomfortable at all tends not to be useful, because my idea of exercise that doesn't make me uncomfortable is sitting on the couch watching cricket, which Heather and I just discovered is quite fun. And it's very nice because, you know, a cricket match can last for 4 or 5 days. Watching somebody else exercise is an exercise. The things that we need to do sometimes require us to be a little uncomfortable. It's not easy to acquire the credentials that you need to accomplish what you need to do if you have to go to university. Something as simple as a driver's license takes some work to get. All of these things that we do are at cross purposes to this notion that if something's uncomfortable or not what we like, we should just leave it. Paul and Silas in this story, and I don't think it's too much of a stretch, to use this as a reminder that just because we can leave and we want to leave doesn't mean that the best thing to do is to leave. It crossed my mind to come up with some kind of a particular style of preaching that would now morph this whole jailbreak into how the jailer and his household were freed from the jail of unbelief or something. And I actually tried to figure that out and then just realized that's so not me, I'm not even going to bother. This is a peculiar jailbreak because they didn't go. That's what makes it peculiar. 99 people out of 100, maybe 100 out of 100, if they're thrown in jail and the doors open up and the chains fall off and they can get out, they're just going to leave. And they didn't. And they didn't because by not leaving, great things happen. Now, none of us are in jail. None of us are facing those kinds of obvious environmental problems. But I'd be surprised if some of us don't have some situations going on that we wouldn't prefer to just walk away from. Whether it's dealing with some troublesome relationship, work, family, whatever it is. Paul and Silas and their example would suggest that don't leave. Stick it out and see what happens. We're not going to get scripture out of it. We're not going to get the insight that belief in Jesus is the critical part of salvation. But I don't know what you might get out of refusing to leave just because the door is open. Sticking it out has the possibility of all kinds of good things. And leaving just always just leaves them behind. So whatever it is, if there is something for you, stick it out. Just because the door is open doesn't mean the best thing to do is to walk through it. Amen.